That's Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello, and welcome to Aryan Narrations. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and today we're going to look at Nennius's History of the Britons. And Nennius was a Welsh monk from the 9th century. Apparently he died in 809 AD, according to the Annales Cambriae. And this is his History of the Britons, as translated by J.A. Giles. I, Nennius, the lowly minister and servant of the servants of God, by the grace of God, disciple of St. Elbertus, to all the followers of truth, sendeth health. Be it known to your charity that being dull in intellect and rude of speech, I have presumed to deliver these things in the Latin tongue, not trusting to my own learning, which is little or none at all, but partly from traditions of our ancestors, partly from writings and monuments of the ancient inhabitants of Britain, partly from the annals of the Romans and the chronicles of the sacred fathers, Isidore, Hieronymus, Prosper, Eusebius, and from the histories of the Scots and Saxons. Although our enemies, not following my own inclinations, but to the best of my ability, obeying the commands of my seniors, I have lispingly put together this history from various sources, and have endeavoured, from shame, to deliver down to posterity the few remaining ears of corn about past transactions, that they may not be trodden underfoot, seeing that an ample crop has been snatched away already by the hostile reapers of foreign nations. For many things have been in my way, and I, to this day, have hardly been able to understand, even superficially as was necessary, the sayings of other men. Much less was I able in my own strength, but, like a barbarian, have I murdered and defiled the language of others. But I bore about with me an inward wound, and I was indignant that the name of my own people, formerly famous and distinguished, should sink into oblivion, and like smoke be dissipated. But since, however, I had rather myself be the historian of the Britons than nobody, although so many are to be found, who might much more satisfactorily discharge the labour thus imposed upon me, I humbly entreat my listeners, whose ears I may offend by the inelegance of my words, that they will fulfil the wish of my seniors, and grant me the easy task of listening with candour to my history. For zealous efforts very often fail, but bold enthusiasm, were it in its power, would not suffer me to fail. May, therefore, candour be shown where the inelegance of my words is insufficient, and may the truth of this history, which my rustic tongue has ventured, as a kind of plough to trace out in furrows, lose none of its influence from that cause, in the ears of my hearers. For it is better to drink a wholesome draught of truth from the humble vessel than poison mixed with honey from a golden goblet. And do not be loath, diligent listener, to winnow my chaff and lay up the wheat in the storehouse of your memory, for truth regards not who is the speaker, nor in what manner it is spoken, but that the thing be true, and she does not despise the jewel which she has rescued from the mud, but she adds it to her former treasures. For I yield to those who are greater and more eloquent than myself, who kindled with generous ardour, have endeavoured by Roman eloquence to smooth the jarring elements of their tongue, if they have left unshaken any pillar of history which I wished to see remain. This history, therefore, has been compiled from a wish to benefit my inferiors, not from envy of those who are superior to me. in the 858th year of our Lord's incarnation, and in the 24th year of Mervyn, King of the Britons, and I hope that the prayers of my betters will be offered up for me in recompense of my labour. But this is sufficient by way of preface. I shall obediently accomplish the rest to the utmost of my power. Here begins the Apology of Nennius, the historiographer of the Britons, of the race of the Britons. I, Nennius, disciple of St. Elbertus, have endeavoured to write some extracts which the dullness of the British nation had cast away, because teachers had no knowledge, nor gave any information in their books about this island of Britain. But I have got together all that I could find, as well from the annals of the Romans, as from the chronicles of the sacred fathers, Hieronymus, Eusebius, Isidorus, Prosper, and from the annals of the Scots and Saxons, and from our ancient traditions. Many teachers and scribes have attempted to write this, but somehow or other have abandoned it, from its difficulty, either on account of frequent deaths, or the often recurring calamities of war. I pray that every listener who shall hear this book may pardon me for having attempted, like a chattering jay, or like some weak witness, to write these things after they had failed. I yield to him who knows more of these things than I do. From Adam to the flood are 2,042 years. From the flood of Abraham, 942. From Abraham to Moses, 600. From Moses to Solomon and the first building of the temple, 448. From Solomon to the rebuilding of the temple, which was under Darius, king of the Persians, 612 years are computed. From Darius to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius, are 548 years. So that from Adam to the ministry of Christ, and the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius, are 5,228 years. From the Passion of Christ are completed 946, from his incarnation 976, being the 5th year of Edmund, King of the Angles. The first age of the world is from Adam to Noah, the second from Noah to Abraham, the third from Abraham to David, the fourth from David to Daniel, the fifth to John the Baptist, the sixth from John to the judgment, when our Lord Jesus Christ will come to judge the living and the dead and the world by fire. The first Julius, the second Claudius, the third Severus, the fourth Carinus, the fifth Constantius, the sixth Maximus, the seventh Maximianus, the eighth another Severus Aquantius, and the ninth Constantius. Here beginneth the history of the Britons, edited by Mark the Anchorite, a holy bishop of that people. The island of Britain derives its name from Brutus, a Roman consul. Taken from the southwest point, it inclines a little towards the west, and to its northern extremity measures 800 miles, and is in breadth 200. It contains 33 cities. Car Ivroc, York, Car Cant, Canterbury, Car Gergoc, Anglesey, Car Gerthegern, Car Castaint, Carnarvon, Car Gwranegon, Worcester, Car Seguint, Silchester, Car Gwyn Truis, Norwich or Winnick, Car Merdin, Car Marthen, Car Peris, Porchester, Car Leon, Car Leon upon Usk, Car Menkepit, Verulam, Car Caratoc, Catterick, Car Kerry, Cirencester, Car Glout, Gloucester, Car Lewichlid, Carlisle, Car Grant, Grantchester, now Cambridge, Car Dawn, Doncaster, or Car Dory, Dorchester, Car Britoc, Bristol, Car Megord, Mafod, Car Maguid, Manchester, Car Ligion, Chester, Car Gwent, Winchester or Carwent in Monmouthshire, Car Colon, Colchester or St. Colon, Cornwall, Car Lundane, London, Car Gercon, Warren or Warren in Pembrokeshire, Car Lerion, Leicester, Car Dertho, Drayton, Car Pansevelcoit, Pevensey in Sussex, Car Telm, Ten Grace in Devonshire, Car Ernach, Wroxeter in Shropshire, Car Colomion, Camelot in Somersetshire, Car Loycoit, Lincoln. These are the names of the ancient cities of the island of Britain. It has also a vast many promontories and castles, innumerable, built of brick and stone. Its inhabitants consist of four different people, the Scots, the Picts, the Saxons, and the ancient Britons. Three considerable islands belong to it, one on the south, opposite the Armorican shore, called Wight, another between Ireland and Britain, called Eubonia, or Man, and another directly north, beyond the Picts, named Orkney, and hence it was anciently a proverbial expression in reference to its kings and rulers. He reigned over Britain and its three islands. It is fertilised by several rivers, which traverse it in all directions, to the east and west, to the south and north, but there are two preeminently distinguished among the rest, the Thames and the Severn, which formerly, like the two arms of Britain, bore the ships employed in the conveyance of riches acquired by commerce. The Britons were once very populous, and exercised extensive dominion from sea to sea. Respecting the period when this island became inhabited, subsequently to the flood, I have seen two distinct relations. According to the annals of the Roman history, the Britons deduce their origin both from the Greeks and the Romans. On the side of the mother, from Lavinia, the daughter of Latinus, king of Italy, and of the race of Silvanus, the son of Inachus, the son of Dardanus, who was the son of Saturn, king of the Greeks, and who, having possessed himself of a part of Asia, built the city of Troy. Dardanus was the father of Troius, who was the father of Priam and Anchises. Anchises was the father of Aeneas, who was the father of Ascanius and Silvius, and this Silvius was the son of Aeneas and Lavinia, the daughter of the king of Italy. From the sons of Aeneas and Lavinia descended Romulus and Remus, who were the sons of the Holy Queen Rhea and the founders of Rome. Brutus was consul when he conquered Spain and reduced that country to a Roman province. He afterwards subdued the island of Britain, whose inhabitants were the descendants of the Romans, from Silvius Postumus. He was called Postumus because he was born after the death of Aeneas his father, and his mother Lavinia concealed herself during her pregnancy. He was called Silvius because he was born in a wood. Hence, the Roman kings were called Silvan, and the Britons from Brutus, and rose from the family of Brutus. Aeneas, after the Trojan War, arrived with his son in Italy, and having vanquished Turnus, married Lavinia, the daughter of King Latinus, who was the son of Faunus, the son of Picus, the son of Saturn. After the death of Latinus, Aeneas obtained the kingdom of the Romans, and Lavinia brought forth a son, who was named Silvius. Ascanius founded Alba, and afterwards married, and Lavinia bore to Aeneas a son named Silvius. But Ascanius married a wife who conceived and became pregnant, and Aeneas, having been informed that his daughter-in-law was pregnant, ordered his son to send his magician to examine his wife, whether the child conceived were male or female. The magician came and examined the wife, and pronounced it to be a son, who should become the most valiant among the Italians, and the most beloved of all men. In consequence of this prediction, The magician was put to death by Ascanius, but it happened that the mother of the child dying at its birth, he was named Brutus, and after a certain interval, agreeably to what the magician had foretold, while he was playing with some others, he shot his father with an arrow, not intentionally, but by accident. He was, for this cause, expelled from Italy, and came to the islands of the Tyrrhene Sea, when he was exiled on account of the death of Turnus, slain by Ennius. He then went among the Gauls, and built the city of Turones, called Turnus. At length, he came to this island named from him Britannia, dwelt there, and filled it with his own descendants. And it has been inhabited from that time to the present period. Ennius reigned over the Latins for 3 years, Ascanius 33 years, after whom Silvius reigned 12 years, and Posthumus 39 years. The latter, from whom the kings of Alba are called Silvan, was brother to Brutus, who governed Britain at the time Eli, the high priest, judged Israel, and when the Ark of the Covenant was taken by a foreign people. But Posthumus, his brother, reigned among the Latins. After an interval of not less than 800 years, came the Picts, and occupied the Orkney Islands, whence they laid waste many regions, and seized those on the left-hand side of Britain, where they still remain, keeping possession of a third part of Britain to this day. Long after this, the Scots arrived in Ireland from Spain. The first that came was Partholomus, with 1,000 men and women. These increased to 4,000, but a mortality coming suddenly upon them, they all perished in 1 week. The second was Nymech, the son of, and it doesn't say who, according to report, after having been at sea a year and a half, and having his ships shattered, arrived at a port in Ireland, and, continuing there several years, returned at length with his followers to Spain. After these came 3 sons of a Spanish soldier, with 30 ships, each of which contained 30 wives, and having remained there during the space of a year, there appeared to them in the middle of the sea a tower of glass, the summit of which seemed covered with men, to whom they often spoke, but received no answer. At length they determined to besiege the tower, and after a year's preparation advanced towards it, with the whole number of their ships, and all their women, 1 ship only excepted, which had been wrecked, and in which were 30 men and as many women. But when all had disembarked on the shore which surrounded the tower, the sea opened and swallowed them up. Ireland, however, was peopled to the present period, from the family remaining in the vessel which was wrecked. Afterwards, others came from Spain, and possessed themselves of various parts of Britain. According to the most learned among the Scots, if anyone desires to learn what I am now going to state, Ireland was a desert and uninhabited when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, in which, as we read in the Book of the Law, the Egyptians who followed them were drowned. At that period, there lived among this people, with a numerous family, a Scythian of noble birth, who had been banished from his country, and did not go to pursue the people of God. The Egyptians who were left, seeing the destruction of the great men of their nation, and fearing lest he should possess himself of their territory, took counsel together and expelled him. Thus reduced, he wandered 42 years in Africa, and arrived with his family at the altars of the Philistines by the lake of Osiers. Then, passing between Russicada and the hilly country of Syria, they travelled by the river Malva through Mauritania as far as the Pillars of Hercules, and crossing the Tyrrhene Sea, landed in Spain, where they continued many years, having greatly increased and multiplied. Thence, 1,002 years after the Egyptians were lost in the Red Sea, they passed into Ireland and the district of Dalrieta. At that period, Brutus, who first exercised the consular office, reigned over the Romans, and the state, which before was governed by regal power, was afterwards ruled during 447 years by consuls, tribunes of the people, and dictators. The Britons came to Britain in the Third Age of the World, and in the Fourth the Scots took possession of Ireland. The Britons, who, suspecting no hostilities, were unprovided with the means of defence, were unanimously and incessantly attacked, both by the Scots from the west and by the Picts from the north. A long interval after this, the Romans obtained the empire of the world. From the first arrival of the Saxons into Britain to the fourth year of King Myrmanus are computed 428 years from the Nativity of our Lord to the coming of St. Patrick among the Scots, 405 years. From the death of St. Patrick to that of St. Bridget, 40 years. And from the birth of Columba to the death of St. Bridget, 4 years. I have learned another account of this Brutus from the ancient books of our ancestors. After the deluge, the three sons of Noah severally occupied three different parts of the earth. Shem extended his borders into Asia, Ham into Africa, and Japhet into Europe. The first man that dwelt in Europe was Alanus, with his three sons, Hiskion, Armenon, and Nugio. Hiskion had four sons, Francus, Romanus, Alamanus, and Brutus. Armenon had five sons, Gothus, Valagothus, Cibidus, Burgundus, and Longobardus. Nugio had three sons, Vandalus, Saxo, and Borganus. From Hiskion arose four nations, the Franks, the Latins, the Germans, and Britons. From Armenon, the Gothi, Balagothi, Cibidi, Burgundi, and Longobardi. From Nugio, the Bulgari, Vandali, Saxons, and Taranigi. The whole of Europe was subdivided into these tribes. Alanus is said to have been the son of Fethua, Fethua the son of Ogamuin, who was the son of Thoi. Thoi was the son of Boibus, Boibus of Semion, Semion of Mare, Mare of Ecthactus, Ecthactus of Ortak, Ortak of Ethek, Ethek of Uth, Uth of Abba, Abba of Ra, Ra of Esra, Esra of Hizrau, Hizrau of Bath, Bath of Jobath, Jobath of Joham, Joham of Japhet, Japhet of Noah, Noah of Lamech, Lamech of Methuselah, Methuselah of Enoch, Enoch of Jared, Jared of Malalehel, Malalehel of Canaan, Canaan of Enos, Enos of Seth, Seth of Adam, and Adam was formed by the living God. We have obtained this information respecting the original inhabitants of Britain from ancient tradition. The Britons were thus called from Brutus. Brutus was the son of Hiskion. Hiskion was the son of Alanus. Alanus was the son of Rhea Silvia. Rhea Silvia was the daughter of Numa Pompilius. Numa was the son of Ascanius. Ascanius of Aeneas. Aeneas of Anchises. Anchises of Troius. Troius of Dardanus. Dardanus of Phlesa, Phlesa of Juin, Juin of Japhet, but Japhet had seven sons. From the first, named Gomer, descended the Gauli. From the second, Magog, the Scythi and Gothi. From the third, Madian, the Medi. From the fourth, Juan, the Greeks. From the fifth, Tubal, arose the Hebri, Hispani, and Italy. From the sixth, Mosok, sprung the Cappadoces. And from the seventh, named Tiras, descended the Thraces. These are the sons of Japhet, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech. The Romans having obtained the dominion of the world, sent legates or deputies to the Britons to demand of them hostages and tribute, which they received from all other countries and islands. But they, fierce, disdainful, and haughty, treated the legation with contempt. Then Julius Caesar, the first who had acquired absolute power at Rome, highly incensed against the Britons, sailed with 60 vessels to the mouth of the Thames, where they suffered shipwreck, whilst he fought against Dolabellus, the proconsul of the British king, who was called Belinus, and who was the son of Minicanus, who governed all the islands of the Tyrrhenian Sea. And thus Julius Caesar returned home without victory, having had his soldiers slain and his ships shattered. But after 3 years, he again appeared with a large army and 300 ships at the mouth of the Thames, where he renewed hostilities. In this attempt, many of his soldiers and horses were killed, for the same consul had placed iron pikes in the shallow part of the river, and this having been effected with so much skill and secrecy as to escape the notice of the Roman soldiers, and it did them considerable injury. Thus, Caesar was once more compelled to return without peace or victory. The Romans were, therefore, a third time sent against the Britons, and under the command of Julius, defeated them near a place called Trinovantium, London, 47 years before the birth of Christ, and 5,212 years from the creation. Julius was the first exercising supreme power over the Romans who invaded Britain. In honour of him, the Romans decreed the 5th month to be called after his name. He was assassinated in the Curia in the Ides of March, and Octavius Augustus succeeded to the empire of the world. He was the only emperor who received tribute from the Britons, according to the following verse of Virgil: Purpurea in textae tollant aulae Britanniae. The second after him who came into Britain was the emperor Claudius, who reigned 47 years after the birth of Christ. He carried with him war and devastation, and, though not without loss of men, he at length conquered Britain. He next sailed to the Orkneys, which he likewise conquered, and afterwards rendered tributary. No tribute was in his time received from the Britons, but it was paid to British emperors. He reigned 13 years and 8 months. His monument is to be seen at Maguntia among the Lombards, where he died on his way to Rome. After the birth of Christ, 167 years, King Lucius, with all the chiefs of the British people, received baptism in consequence of a legation sent by the Roman emperors and Pope Evaristus. Severus was the third emperor who passed the sea to Britain, where, to protect the provinces recovered from barbaric incursions, he ordered a wall and a rampart to be made between the Britons, the Scots, and the Picts, extending across the island from sea to sea, in length 133 miles, and it is called in the British language Gwal. Moreover, he ordered it to be made between the Britons and the Picts and Scots, for the Scots from the west and the Picts from the north unanimously made war against the Britons, but were at peace among themselves. Not long after, Severus dies in Britain. The fourth was the emperor and tyrant Carausius, who, incensed at the murder of Severus, passed into Britain and, attended by the leaders of the Roman people, severely avenged upon the chiefs and rulers of the Britons the cause of Severus. The fifth was Constantius, the father of Constantine the Great. He died in Britain. His sepulchre, as it appears by the inscription on his tomb, is still seen near the city named Caer Sigont, near Carnarvon. upon the pavement of the above-mentioned city, he sowed 3 seeds of gold, silver, and brass, that no poor person might ever be found in it. It is also called Minmanton. Maximianus was the 6th emperor that ruled in Britain. It was in his time that consuls began, and the appellation of Caesar was discontinued at this period also. St. Martin became celebrated for his virtues and miracles, and held a conversation with him. The 7th emperor was Maximus. He withdrew from Britain with all his military force, slew Gratian, the king of the Romans, and obtained the sovereignty of all Europe. Unwilling to send back his warlike companions to their wives, children, and possessions in Britain, he conferred upon them numerous districts from the lake on the summit of Mons Jovis to the city called Cantguic and to the western tumulus, that is to Cruc Occident. These are the Armoric Britons, and they remain there to the present day. In consequence of their absence, Britain being overcome by foreign nations, the lawful heirs were cast out till God interposed with his assistance. We are informed by the tradition of our ancestors that 7 emperors went into Britain, though the Romans affirm there were 9. Thus, agreeably to the account given by the Britons, the Romans governed them 409 years. After this, the Britons despised the authority of the Romans, equally refusing to pay them tribute or to receive their kings, nor durst the Romans any longer attempt the government of a country, the natives of which massacred their deputies.